Welcome to the AT Tips Cast, exploring and investigating different implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 17, recorded on May 9th, 2008. Blackberries, Palm Pilots, little calendar books, markers on your palm, it doesn't matter what you use. Everyone has some sort of method of keeping track of things they need to do and when they need to do them. Students are no exception. However, some students might need visuals to help them keep track of things. This brings us to AT tip number 29, linear visual schedules. Let's start off by defining a linear visual schedule. Basically, it's just a list of what's expected. The list can be made up of words, or it can be made up of pictures, or it can be made up of both words and pictures. The list can be organized in a horizontal or vertical row, and it can be as long as necessary depending on what will go on the schedule. My preference is a vertical schedule for most visual schedules. This format emulates a checklist, which is essentially what you're creating. That's not to say a horizontal schedule wouldn't work, it would, but I like horizontal schedules for pre-reading sorts of activities where you're trying to get the student into the habit of moving from left to right. Either way, they're both linear in that they follow a straight line. Before designing what will go on the schedule, you need to decide what the student needs to do. That is, what's the purpose and what's the scope of the schedule going to be? Will the schedule be for a specific activity, like how to complete an art activity where each visual represents one direction on how to complete the task? Or will the schedule be for a specific routine or skill, like how to wash your hands or how to go to the bathroom appropriately? Some might say that if you're using visuals for directions, then they should be called visual directions. Some might say that if you're using visuals for a routine, then that thing should be called a visual routine. Whatever, it doesn't really matter what you call it, because the purpose of any of those is all the same. Making sure the purpose is clear is the important thing, though, when creating a visual schedule. Another reason why you might make a visual schedule might be to help a student transition from one activity to the next, as well as reinforcing that something is coming next, especially if there's an unpreferred task involved. Whenever a student is struggling to maintain their focus on a task, or anytime a student is having trouble completing a task, a visual schedule is a strategy that could be tried. Once what will go on the schedule is decided, it's time to decide how the student will interact with the schedule. One way for a student to interact with their schedule is by attaching visuals to the schedule with Velcro, so the student can pull them off and then put them in a finished box or a finished envelope. This is really effective because it involves the student physically moving the visual, which increases their sense of accomplishment. The student can see that the list of things they need to do is getting smaller and smaller. Another way a student can interact with their schedule is by having a sheet to cross off on. For routines that are done, well, routinely, there could be a stack of photocopies. The student could take a photocopy of the visual schedule, and as he accomplishes something, he could put an X on it or put some sort of mark on it to explain that, hey, I completed this. Who doesn't like to cross things off a to-do list? For those students who need symbols or pictures as opposed to just a text-based schedule, BoardMaker has some excellent templates for making schedules. You should be able to get your templates right off your BoardMaker disk, at least version 5 and version 6. I'll have some samples of linear visual schedules up on the attipscast.wordpress.com site for you to check out. Keep in mind this one final point. Students thrive on structure. Haphazard, random, and unpredictable are great adjectives for students to use in writing assignments. They aren't good descriptors of how to work with students. Structured, consistent, and predictable lessons should be the goal, and visual schedules can help you get there. Now, according to my schedule, it says it's time to roll the funky music and creep into the final part of the show. That about wraps it up for this episode. Just a reminder that I'll be walking to raise money to research a cure for cystic fibrosis on May 18th. I think I've been saying May 19th on the previous shows, but it's definitely May 18th. Sorry about that. It will be May 18th. If you'd like to give, please check out the www.cff.org/great_strides website to make a donation. I'll have the link up on the attipscast.wordpress.com site as well, so you can just go there to click on the link. If you have any questions for me, comments, suggestions, whatever, I'd love to hear from you. Please send me an email at attipscast@gmail.com. Until next time, may all your interventions be inclusive, and may all your strategies be supportive.